Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. We have reached the beginning of a new year. The church year begins on the first Sunday of Advent, today. So I suppose Happy New Year greetings are in order. We know Advent to be a time of hopeful preparation of the coming Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God into a lost and broken world, as well as preparation for the second coming of Jesus back into the world to consummate all things in himself and bring the fullness of heaven and earth together. Advent is indeed the time to get ready in our hearts, our minds, our homes, and our churches. Last Sunday was the previous church year ended on a very high note with Christ the King Sunday, a day in which we give great glory to Jesus as the true King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, acknowledging who he is in our lives by God's mercy and by having mercy on others. Over the last several weeks, in our gospel readings from the book of Matthew, we've been hearing quite a lot about judgment, preparation, God's glory, about mercy, and all things end times related. Many years, though, we come to the first Sunday of Advent, and it can be quite jarring. Many years we come to the first Sunday of Advent, and it's almost shocking to start hearing about the finality of all things that comes with the coming and the second coming of the Messiah. We start hearing about judgment and end times, and it's almost like we're not ready for it. Well, this year, we have been prepared for it. The last few weeks, we've been hearing a lot about preparation and being ready. Well, Advent, friends, it certainly is a season that is full of hope. Full of hope with the expectant and hopeful birth of the Savior, of Jesus Christ, though it is not without very deep reflection on the need for that Messiah to come into the world. And the first Sunday of Advent has been described in many different ways, including Advent begins in darkness, or it gets darker and darker, and then Jesus is born. You absolutely have to have dark in order to see light. Or one that I recently came across says, Advent is the season of the church's flat tire. The world will go on barreling down the freeway, racing like madmen toward Christmas, but we are forced to stop, be delayed. We must wait. Again, in our recent Matthew passages, we've been preparing for Advent. Preparing to prepare, you could say. Today, though, through the prophet Isaiah, we see what it is that we are preparing for. The great need for a Savior. The great need for the Messiah to come into the world. Theologian Walter Brueggemann writes, contrary to the manner in which it is often celebrated in the churches, Advent begins not on a note of joy, but of despair. Humankind has reached the end of its rope. all our schemes for self-improvement, for extracting ourselves from the traps that we have set for ourselves, have come to nothing. We have now realized at the deepest level of our being that we cannot save ourselves, and that apart from the intervention of God, we are totally and irretrievably lost. We aren't at Christmas just yet. We're not there yet. So we wait. The world may pass us by barreling down the freeway. We may be a bit delayed. That's okay. It's okay to wait a little. Because while we wait, we prepare. We acknowledge within the deepest part of ourselves why we need a Savior to come into the world. Why I need a Savior to come into my life. These verses from Isaiah are a prayer by God's people. They're a prayer by God's people who are powerless, who are in desperate need for mercy. They're exiled. They are deep in generations of sin, depressed, anxiety-ridden, worried, under oppression. This prayer, which actually begins in the previous chapter, exhibits, when we look closely, it exhibits two of the great main aspects of Advent hope. On one hand, we have a deep sense of desperation, of a situation long out of control. And on the other hand, a bold confidence and trust in the Creator of the world. Both come together for Advent hope. In this prayer, there is an appeal to God, to who He is, that there is only one. He is to be approached with respect and reverence, what we know of as the fear of the Lord. Though this prayer is more than simply an acknowledgement of God's power, it is there, but it is more than that. It is a move from acknowledging His power to a move of recognizing the need for relationship with Him. Friends, that's exactly what the Incarnation is. God with us in the ultimate relationship between humanity and the divine. The broken and the pure. This prayer asks God to come down. The prayer begs for God's mercy to intervene for His people. This prayer is a prophetic recognition for the need of Jesus. The most prolific hymn writer of all time was Anglican Charles Wesley. In one of his great hymns, we're going to sing in just a few moments, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." The words from that hymn express the same desire as this prayer from Isaiah. We are a people in bondage by sin and fear, restless in ourselves, searching for meaning in things with no depth or creativity or actual substance. Though we have a deep, dear desire from the bottom of our hearts for more. For more. We long for hope, for expectation, for joy, and for something to look forward to. Something that brings joy in the midst of a cruel world. Peace in spaces we occupy that are so consumed with aggressiveness and anger. That which we all deeply desire, which we all so dearly need, is found only in Jesus. But we search for it in so many different places. It's found only in Jesus, who was long expected for the people of Israel in the days of Isaiah, and is long expected to return for us today. The same Messiah that we now prepare our hearts, our minds, our homes, and our churches for today. The same Messiah that we prepare to come again in great hope to complete the reconciliation of all things in Himself. Beloved, thankfully, Advent isn't only darkness. It may begin in dark, and we may need to see the dark in order to know the light. But Advent is that great juxtaposition of light in the middle of darkness. There are so many things that create darkness in the world, in our lives, in our minds, that truly do need to have light brought to them. And I believe you know that can be a very painful process. Though when we allow the Lord to work within our lives, when we are the clay and He is the potter, when we allow the Lord to work within our lives so that we can actually see the need for the Savior, the need for the Messiah, we will also see the great glory brought in the healing. So during Advent, we ask the Lord to come down, to be with us, because we have a great need and a great desire for something more. Something more because we have sinned, because we have been sinned against. Because there are diagnoses of cancer and dementia. Because marriages are struggling. Because families are broken. Because addictions are all-encompassing. Because of unspeakable things done to people against their will. Because of shame. Because of depression. Anxiety, because we need to be released from our sins and fears. We need to find rest somehow, some way in Him, in Jesus, who is the only one who could ever bring such joy, such rest, such hope. So we ask, just like the people in this prayer from Isaiah, for the Lord to come. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Let us see thy great salvation. It is perfectly restored in thee. Amen.
Sufficient grace.